that wonderful? That is Dr. Hook. And there he goes doing his magic, Dr. Hook and Sexy Eyes. Good morning, everybody, or good day to you. I know we're doing our podcast today. This is August Selson. And this is, well, this is our show. And I'm saying that I'm very grateful to the Phil Henry people for allowing us to do a little fill-in here, as Phil is taking care of some business this morning. But what I do and what my organization does, an organization of some 2,000 people located in the Valley of the Sun in Arizona, is we help you realize your potential as a sexual being. Sex is the most important thing, really, in life, and we teach you how to have sex and how to do sex better and better and better and better. And I know there's much, much more to it than just that. So let me just say a very good day to you. Buenos dias. Welcome. I'm August Selson. I think when you hear our presentation here today, you're really going to say, where have you been all my life, August Selson? And if there's anyone in the television business who is listening, I'm going to do something rather shameless here. I'm going to just put a thought in your head. Let me put a thought in your head if you're Mr. or Mrs. Television Executive. Here's a thought. Why not have August Selson on your television station? And I would do a show I can most assuredly say would have a lot of people tuning in, because we talk about sex from the standpoint of how to do it good and how to get more and more out of life by having sex. See, it's not a very complicated thing. I've written some 10,000 booklets. I have pamphlets that I pass out, and I've passed out pamphlets in just about every country in this world, showing the different sexual positions and the different sex acts that have been tried and experimented with down through the years, down through the many thousands of years that man has been attempting to have good sex, and most of the time failing. Isn't that interesting? Well, there's so much to talk about. I'm so glad that you've joined me today. I'm August Selson. Mr. Henry is, as I mentioned at the outset, involved in some other business. I think he's going to have a luncheon meeting later on today. And I also know that Mr. Henry is having a social evening out on Friday night with his attorney and members of the entertainment industry. It's very exciting. And no question that Mr. Henry, if he is accompanied by a young lady, will have sex that night. I know that if Mr. Henry is listening right now, he's probably shocked and stunned and sickened by what I'm saying, because I think a lot of people would consider that to be a violation of one's privacy. But you'll notice I don't know what he's going to do. He could be by himself on Friday night. Mr. Henry may be at home by himself and doing what so many of us did when we were bachelors. You've got a bag of some candied or sweetened treat. It could be Cracker Jacks or perhaps those Hershey Kisses. And because there's no female there and no real social company, you don't really care how you're dressed. And generally that means you've got on something like a shirt, but nothing, no pants or underwear. And you're sitting that way on a leather couch. Now, understand what that can do to the smell of a leather couch. Well, you can well imagine, can't you? I don't want to get too specific with that one. But wherever we go in this world, we're going to have sex. And I want to ensure you, or usher you and ensure that your sexual experience is as good as it gets. And that's what August Selsen is all about. With our many booklets and pamphlets, our readers, our primers, we have done our level best to educate everyone of age, of course, to the practicality and also not only how to perform the sex acts properly, but to get the most out of them. And that's what I don't think is happening. You know, of all the things that man engages in, sex is the one that we're not supposed to talk about, isn't it? Don't you think it's time that we stop being so tight-lipped about sex? Let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And let's talk about specific things. Blood flow. Erections. Diseases. My goodness gracious. If I had a nickel for every disease I got, and I don't mean that. Now, hold on. I'm not talking about the devastating illnesses that we know of. I'm talking about simple infections that a young woman can prevent herself from having and thus not passing it along to the man. And I've gotten more of those down through the years than I can shake a stick at. Let me tell you what. And you're even as you are cursing the name of the girl that you were with there a few days before or whenever it was, and you know how it is, it can be very discomforting and uncomfortable as you try to eliminate in the morning, and there is a very searing, burning sensation that you can get. And when you go to your urologist and he'll say, how does it feel when you urinate? And you tell him, he will nod his head and he'll say, why didn't you use protection? And you'll say to him, because that defeats the purpose. It defeats its own purpose. It defeats its own purpose. I never use protection. I'm always assured that my sex partners are disease-free and not riddled with infections and potentially devastating and disfiguring infections that can cause the penis to enlarge at one end and shrivel at the other, and it looks like you're walking around with a shillelagh, you see, instead of a penis. Now, I'm being very graphic, and there's reasons for this. We don't talk enough about it. We don't talk enough about it. And the most important thing for me is to enlighten all of you. That's what August Selsen has been about from the very beginning. Do you know that I was a 7-year-old boy when I said, if I can make $1 billion before I die on sex, I will be a happy person. I didn't know what sex was. All I knew was that it was important and that people talked a lot about it, but didn't really get to the point. They danced around it, is what I'm trying to say. So I was 7 years of age when I wrote my first booklet. And I've got it right here, as a matter of fact. This was my very first booklet on sex. It was actually a pamphlet, 3 pages. And it reflects the mind of a boy. And it's called, What Does It Look Like When a Lady Pulls Her Pants Down? And I'm holding it up here for those of you who are watching on the television this morning. What does it look like? And I wrote this when I was 7. This was my very first sex booklet. Well, would you believe that I passed out probably 100 of these around the neighborhood? And again, I was a little 7-year-old boy, and I was giving these out to 7- and 8-year-old boys and girls. And I said to them, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up. And they laughed and pulled their pants down and stuck their butts out at me and went, well, here, might as well get started, ha, 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 and they all ran away. And that's what children do. I was mocked, I was laughed at, and I was eventually remanded to psychiatric care. My parents thought that there was something wrong with me. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? My parents thought that I needed to be remanded to a youth psychiatric holding area, roped off, cinched up, and only let out for brief feeding periods. And I said to my parents, no, that's not the way to do it. I'm August Sensen. And my father said, I know, son, and I love and I appreciate you, but you can't pass out booklets asking what does it look like when a lady pulls her pants. But I said, Father, I want to engage in the education of people on the subject of sex. And that's when sort of I could see the light bulb go off. My father was a wonderful man, a wonderful man. I loved him very much. But he was not a very imaginative man. He was a hard-working man. He did what he did, and he came home at night. And then he'd get up in the morning and go out, and he'd come home at night. And the only thing I knew of affection between my mother and father were the sounds that emanated from their bedroom at night, and they were animal sounds, pounding, violent, thrashing sounds. I could hear furniture being moved around, windows breaking. And of course, alarmed, I thought, my goodness gracious, is there a violent act taking place in there? But in the morning, they'd be happy and laughing, and my father, you know, talking to my mom, kissing her, and very affectionate. And I realized that what was happening in there was this thing called SAGS. And so I determined more than ever before that I would become a prominent expert on sex and how to do and how to have it so that it feels great. There's a lot of different positions, sex positions that we get into in our classes. If you look at my second pamphlet, which is entitled Sex Positions, How They're All Different, and we have photographs of myself and Lady Beth, who is my longtime female friend, soulmate, companion. You can't get closer to a person than I have been with Lady Beth from the very advent of our adventures in the education of the masses to sex. She and I are one. We are connected. We are love incarnate. Now, we're not married because I don't want to involve my money with her. She's had a couple of arrests and convictions for embezzlement, so I don't want to go there with her. And she understands that. I give her an allowance, which she banks. And from that allowance, she takes out her petty cash and what she needs for the week, and can then pay the different bills and the things that she needs to pay. But make no mistake, Lady Beth and I are love incarnate. We are intertwined, entirely devoted to each other, although we have multiple sex partners. We are, as lovers and as a pairing, we are devoted to each other. We are true to each other with great fidelity. We do have multiple sex partners daily, but that does not negate the trust and the feelings of love that I have for her. I don't allow her to come near my money. I don't allow her to get anywhere near where I store my money. When I'm at home, I store my money in a small safe that I keep underneath the pillow that I sleep on. I know it all sounds quite bizarre, but that's how I'm comfortable. And I think as couples, we have to be comfortable with each other because, you know, after the sex is done, and you'll notice I don't call it lovemaking. You'll notice that, don't you? Didn't you notice that? Did you? How many of you out there noticed that I never used the term lovemaking? Okay. Okay. Well, here's why. I think that while it is love, there's no question, I think that that confuses the issue, and it knocks us off course. We are on a journey to sex, to the orgasm, to the post-coital experience, and then eventually on into the day, spreading into the world the joy and the cheer and the good feeling that one gets from satisfying and complete sexual contact. You can call it lovemaking if you want, but I think that therein lies the problem that most of us have. Because if you're sitting there in a bar or in a lounge or a discotheque, or any of the places where you might go to meet another person of the opposite gender or the same gender for sexual contact, and you're thinking about lovemaking, I can guarantee you that there's going to be a dysfunction somewhere in your future that night. Here's a song that we start our show with. It's called Sexy Eyes by Dr. Hook. But in this song, you're going to hear the man talking about being alone. And he's looking at all the people there making love to each other. I don't know what kind of a club he's in. I am imagining that this is more of a euphemism than it is a literal, but... I was sitting all alone watching people get it on with each other. He could have been in a place such as Plato's Retreat. Well, he says they're dancing. They're lovers, so they're copulating while they're moving, while they're standing up. Now, this guy is setting himself up for a horrific encounter. Now, he's looking at either a man or a woman who is giving him the sexy eyes. But all he can think about are people copulating, standing up, and twirling around a dance floor. This is setting this man up for failure, sure as God made the green apple. I'm telling you that... And so... Listen, here it is. I think she or he asked him to dance, so... All right, enough of that nonsense, although it sounds like it's a fun night. But you don't want to set yourself up for that kind of failure. You don't want to set yourself up for that kind of failure, do you? Of course you don't. Well, August Sensen, that's who I am. I'll teach you how to engage in the act of sex successfully, thoroughly, and with a completeness that you have not known, not never. Well, a very pleasant good day to you. I'm August Sensen. I've written some 10,000 booklets, pamphlets, flyers, mimeographed copies of things, of speeches. I've given speeches. And I've traveled all over this country trying to educate people to the joys and the pitfalls of sexual intercourse, oral sex, yes, even anal sex, which is acceptable in a great many cultures. Only in America and in some European cultures is the anality considered to be taboo. I use the term anality because it rhymes with banality, and banality means something dull and boring. And that's what we've done with the anal alternative. Now, I won't get into too much discussion of that this morning because I know that particularly the ladies, they sort of wince, and some of you guys too, you wince and screw your faces up into that, as Lady Beth calls it, the owie face. She'll sometimes entertains me. Lady Beth is so funny sometimes with the funny voices that you do, honey. She'll say, ow, you know, that kind of thing. The other night, as a matter of fact, I don't think I'm talking out of school, when we began our sex for the night, and I discussed with her the possibility of anality, and she very jokingly went, ouch, you know, and sort of squeezed her butt cheeks together. And I said, now you cut that out, Lady Beth. And she giggled and walked into the bathroom and got the lube that we keep there, which is, and we will also, of course, give you a primer on the different lubes. Oh my goodness gracious, there's so many. And you can't even begin to count the... And I really personally believe that they've overdone it with the lubes, don't you? They've got wet and every permutation of that. And, of course, Vaseline. We call Vaseline the grand dame of lube. Vaseline has our highest honor here at the August Sensen Show because... It was Vaseline that really guided us to where we wanted to be initially, sexually. And I suppose we are talking about the analities, but it's also helpful with some of you who have had a difficult time lubing, you see. And when we're talking about, let me be very clear, all right? I wrote a booklet on this. And I spoke to a senior citizens group on lubing. And I said, when you lube, you've got to be very liberal with it. Don't be shy and take a little dab on the fingers, you know, Lady Beth. And they take a little tiny dablet and go, oh, well, okay, I'm good. That's good for me. No, no. I spoke to a group of seniors here in Huntington Beach about this. It was part of our series on the expectations you can have when you're single and 70, and they are pretty intense. There are so many people that think they turn 70 and then sex is a something that disappears. I can tell you that I've talked to more people in their 70s who have, right or wrong, every kind of sexually transmitted disease, broken blood vessels, visits to the emergency room at 4 a.m. extracting God knows what. Oh boy. You know. On the one hand, I feel I'm elated that they're being so adventurous. On the other hand, I think some of them are going to be in danger of harming themselves permanently. There's a health risk. But we're talking about tourniquets. We're talking about asphyxiations. Oh yes. All of these people, 70 to 80 years of age, autoerotic asphyxiation, liberal amounts of lube, lubricant, and as I mentioned, the internal injuries, crippled for days on end, you can't use a knee, your back is thrown out, your neck is thrown out, jaws unhinged. There was a man that came to me, and this was in our second series. We were talking about the history, my personal history, with oral sex and all of the oral sex that I've had. And this guy apparently took it to heart, went out that night, and the next day his jaw had completely unhinged, and we were kidding with him, as you would expect. Say, well, I guess now you're in the business of rattlesnake, huh? What you going to do now, Harley? Eat yourself a rabbit? Ha ha! Do you remember that, Lady Beth? And he was none too pleased. I mean, he was from the time the sun went down to the time the sun came up. I don't think he got one breath of air that wasn't somehow restricted or constricted, forgive me for saying, by a pair of thighs and a you-know-what just smack in the face and breathing through the mouth, breathing through the nose, never really a great... You can't really get a good breath of air that way. You have to take that breath in with the mouth, and when you do that... You know, you make sure the breath in with the mouth, you know, the breath out is with the nose. If you're taking the breath out with the mouth, she's going to go, it's very cold. The air, it's cold. You know, so make sure it's breath out with the mouth is a warm breath of air. All right, I'm getting too far into. There's so much to learn. So much to learn. This is August Sensen. Now, do you remember when Larry Craig, the United States Senator from Idaho, was arrested in the Minneapolis airport, Lady Beth? You recall that? I'm going to tell everyone about my time at the Minneapolis airport and how this is something that can happen to anybody at any time. My name is August Sensen. I've written some 10,000 booklets and pamphlets on sex and how to enjoy sex more. And we're very, very glad that you've joined us here. And we're going to be talking about my experience there at Minneapolis Airport and how you can make the most out of every day when you have sex with the people that you meet and the business associates that you have and the people in the store, people on the street. It's a wonderful, wonderful world. Turning, moving back and forth, they were lovers. One more lonely night for me. I looked up. What did I see? I saw sexy eyes. Well, those sexy eyes will get you every time. But if you're not prepared for the sexy eye, you're going to have a world of hurt, my friend. You're going to have a world of hurt, my friend, if you don't have, if you're not prepared for the sexy eye. You know, I say sexy eye, I'm only half kidding. Oh, when Jerry Barnsdale, you remember him, Lady Beth, Jerry met a young lady, beautiful young woman who had a glass eye. Now, I know there's a lot of jokes about the glass eye. She popped it out, this and that. But this is not what that's about. He looked up and he saw one sexy eye. The other was just sort of a dead glass eye. And at first he was shocked. He was stunned. He thought he was in hell. He didn't know where he was. Jerry had had a lot to drink that night. Am I right? Jerry had a lot to drink. He glanced up and he saw one sexy eye and the other just a dead glass eye. Really just a glass orb, and he thought he was in hell. He thought he'd passed out or had had a cerebral hemorrhage and was in the process of dying and going over, passing over the river of Styx, and because he was passing through that phase we call hell, seeing one good eye and the dead glass eye. Well, no, he wasn't. He was alive and well, Jerry. I've talked to him since. He still shudders when he thinks of that. But you want to know something? He married that girl. Yes, he did. He married that girl. He looked up. What did I see? The single sexy eye. And he married it. Married the young lady, but more to the point, he married that eye, that one eye. I would imagine anyone that has the only one good eye feels a bit, perturbed or left out when you hear a song, I Only Have Eyes for You, don't it make my brown eyes blue, and that, and you feel left out, don't you, if you've only got one good peeper, huh? Well, just singularize it, and I think you're going to understand that anybody can fall in love that way. And when Crystal Gayle sang that song, Don't It Make My Single Brown Eye Blue, which is the way we interpreted it, it brings in a whole other area of meaning too, doesn't it? Sure it does. This is August Sensen. And I'm very grateful that you've joined our broadcast this morning here on the Phil Henry Podcast. We've got so much to talk about. I'm going to tell you in a moment about my trip to Minneapolis. I was actually on my way to Fargo, North Dakota. I was giving a lecture at a businessman's luncheon in Fargo. And they were holding the door for me, if you will. So I had to run. I had to get get going, and a plane was late coming into Minneapolis. I was going to get a connector to Fargo, North Dakota, so I had to run to another part of the airport. I'm sure you've all been in that position. And I knew that these guys were waiting for me in Fargo. They were at a lodge up there, and it was a host bar. They brought in some, I guess, belly dancers or something, and then they were going to feature me talking on a variety of subjects having to do with sex and learning how to be better and stronger and more aware and gooder, bigger and badder and all that. And of course, these guys, you know how these guys are. They treat all of this like it's a bachelor party, but I was going to hand out booklets. I had the pamphlets ready. I had our video presentation on how to undress and where to put your clothing when you undress, how to fold your underwear. You know, there's ways of doing everything when you have sex with a woman or a man. There's ways of doing things that will make the experience more enjoyable. When you take your clothes off before the sex act, how do you fold it up? Do you throw it on the floor? A lot of people think it's sexy to throw it over a lamp or something, you know. Well, perhaps, and I know a lot of the films that we see celebrate the removal of clothing and the tossing it in the air and so on and so forth. But there's also something to be said for folding your underwear and laying it on a stool or a couch, folding your pants, your tie, asking, is there a hamper? I'd like to put this pair of underwear in the hamper because I think it's probably ready for the laundry. I will take it out of here tomorrow. Don't worry, dear, if you're talking to the young lady. But I think that in the interest of making the room more pleasant, can I just go ahead and put my underwear in your hamper? And she'll, if she's any kind of a woman, she'll have a hamper ready right there in the bedroom or in the closet and direct you to it. And it is there that you can deposit that. If you used to use those Mitchum underarm pads, and people used to joke about this, but I did a couple of times leave the pad there in my underarm, and I had to remove those. And I'll never forget, the young lady said to me, did you actually put those Mitchum underarm deodorant pads in your armpits? And I said, yes, I did. And that was the end of the night. She asked me to leave. But before all of that happened, I had taken the underarm pads out, folded them in fourths, and deposited them in a hamper because I didn't want to put them in a trash can, thinking they might make the room more unpleasant. And I think things would have gone well had she not detected that I'd actually had those stuck to my armpits. And I said to her, is that a deal breaker? And she said, copy that, were the words that she used. And I said, well, copy that means you heard and you understand. But the question is it a deal breaker? She said, Roger that. And I said, were you in the Army? And she said, Roger. You see, this nonsense kept going on and on and on and on until I was pushed out the front door by her older brother. But let's get back to our Minneapolis experience, shall we, Lady Beth? I get to talking about different things. I'm August Sensen. And as many of you probably know, if you've been to any of my lectures or you've read any of the pamphlets that I've passed out from time to time, and we've passed out close to 1 million pamphlets, booklets. We have a series on sex called The 1-2-3s of Sex. It is a 20-volume series, but they're very thin volumes. Each volume is a compact 20 pages, The 1-2-3s of Sex. We begin at the very beginning, which is the best place to begin, obviously, and it takes you through 20 volumes of the 1-2-3s of sex. We have a sequel to that, which you might imagine. You're right if you imagine it's called the ABCs of sex. Then we have one called The Birds and the Bees. And there was a song written many years ago about the birds and the bees. And so we include in that one of those little plastic discs that you can tear out and play on your record player at your leisure. That is a free gift from us to you. I don't know if you have a record player, but you can put the needle down. If you have a record player, you put the needle down on the groove disc, and it plays the song Birds and Bees. So I was on my way to Fargo, North Dakota, and I was flying from Los Angeles, and I was stopping in Minneapolis, and I had to go to the bathroom. Well, I ran from the plane, and I knew I had to go to a terminal that was down a ways, I guess probably a couple of hundred yards, and I had to run. I had to sprint to get there. I also felt the need to have sex. And when you read our pamphlets, especially when you read our pamphlet Love on the Run, and that is part of the 1-2-3s of sex, but it was initially published as a booklet, the August Sensen booklet series, and it was originally a flyer that we had placed under the windshield wipers there of people going in and out of these marriage counseling classes. If your problem is sex, why are you wasting money going in there? Here it is. Here's the 1-2-3s of sex. So I went into this bathroom, and it was the ladies' room. I didn't have time to go into the men's room. It was crowded, and all the stalls were taken. So I made my way into the ladies' room and opened up the stall and sat down, and I'm going to do my business. Well, sure enough, coming into the stall next to me, sure enough, and I remember thinking, August, you old fool, you did it again. You remember the old Stuart Anderson commercial? Stuart, you did it again. Well, August, you did it again. You smart boy, you needed to go to the bathroom, so you found a toilet. And guess what? The toilet's in the ladies' room. So you're about to kill two birds with one stone, if possible. But you got to know what you're doing. I looked down, instead of in the song Sexy Eyes, where he looks up and sees the sexy eyes, I looked down and I saw the high heels of a young lady and the painted toenails and the slender and very attractive ankles. And I made the split decision, I made a judgment call that she was a very attractive young lady, and I'd go ahead and make a play even as I was sitting on a toilet. Now, that sounds about as vulgar an act as perhaps you could engage in. And yet, when you read the August Selsen pamphlets on Love on the Run and Making the Most Out of a Minute, which is probably one of our most popular pamphlets, because in it, in two pages, and that's how long this pamphlet is, Making the Most Out of a Minute, in that pamphlet alone, we'll tell you what I was about to... I'll tell you what I did. It's in that pamphlet. I sat down, and just like Larry Craig, when he was arrested by that police officer, I sort of spread my feet out. Because I am, as Larry Craig indicated he was, I'm a wide guy. I've got a wide stance. And so my foot passed underneath the toilet stall divider, and I bumped her, okay? I bumped her high-heeled foot. And that's when her hand came underneath the stall to my side of the stall, and she gave me a series of hand signals. And if any of you have ever been in the service and were in the Signal Corps, you know the different signals that are given for takeoff, landing, flaps up, this kind of thing. And she gave me the flaps up signal. Flaps up, ready for takeoff. I recognize that because I was a signalman in the United States Navy early on in my life. So I bumped her again. So I pushed my foot and bumped her foot, and she put her hand under and gave me the flaps up, ready for takeoff. I come out of the stall, and I'm arrested immediately by a member of the Minneapolis Police Department. This was the female officer. And I remember thinking, I did everything right. What did I do wrong? I did everything right. What did I do wrong? And I came to the conclusion that this was a female police officer, so there was every possibility she was a lesbian. And I even asked her. I said, may I ask you your sexual orientation? And she said, that's really none of your business. Now, a straight woman would have no problem telling you, and I didn't see a ring on her finger, very little makeup, as well as the keys hanging off the belt. That's a sure giveaway as to whether a woman is a lesbian or not. She'll be stylish, she'll have earrings and maybe a little bit of makeup, but then from the waist down, she's dressed as if she's opening up the gas station early. You know, she has the petroleum-based shoes, the keys hanging off the belt, the khaki pants. But from the waist up, she is on a runway somewhere in Paris. So I made the judgment call right then and there. And when I got home, I told Lady Beth, and she agreed with me. Well, that's one thing you can't be sure of when it's love on the run, especially if you're in a bathroom stall and all you see is a woman's high-heeled shoe. I can tell you this much. Larry Craig was very stupid because he's a United States senator and you don't expect him to do that kind of thing in a bathroom. But Aga Sensen has written 10,000 pamphlets, booklets. We've given away close to a million of our booklets and bookettes. We've given away close to a million of our flyers, of our circulars, our sexual weekly, and the sexual weekly, or it's called the sex weekly, giving you a position of the week, has been such a success and so popular that it's gone into a third, fourth, fifth printing. It's a weekly circular that goes into mailboxes. Now, some of you are saying, do children see this? No, they don't. No, they don't. They don't see it. Because we will stay, after we put it into the mailbox, we stay with the car idling up the street. And I have binoculars, or Lady Beth will. If we see a kid coming down the driveway or a child approaching that mailbox to retrieve the mail, we immediately throw it into reverse and back up at a very high rate of speed, and we will yell to startle the child. The child will turn around, and we'll say, excuse us for just a minute. We'll reach into the mailbox, take out the flyer, and then speed away. Isn't that interesting? And that, see, what happens there is you don't have to have any plastic covering or anything like that. You can also have the circular as it was intended, because the sex weekly is intended to be pulled from the mailbox, and right there you see a man and woman graphically having sex, and it's the position of the week. So it could be backdoor, missionary, any of the varieties, but you can't water it down. You can't water it down. But you don't want kids to see it. So what you do is you monitor the mailbox throughout the day. You stay parked. Now, because of that, you're only able to put one flyer in a mailbox a day, because you have to monitor the mailbox. Now, if for whatever chance, if you get lucky and the kid comes down the driveway or an adult comes down the driveway and gets the mail out, and then you look and see what the reaction is on the face of that individual, and if they smile, you back up again at a very high rate of speed, because you don't want people to get away. So you have the binoculars on the adult. If it's an adult female and she looks at the flyer and she sees the graphic image that is before her and she smiles, you back up very fast and you introduce yourself. At that time, Lady Beth and I think the last time that happened was in It was in Ogden, Utah. Ogden, Utah. Yes, it was. We backed up, and I said, hello, I'm August Sensen, and this is my consort, Lady Beth. And do you like what you see there? Huh? And then you engage them in a conversation, and they'll say, well, yes, I, as a matter of fact, yes, I did. And we'll say, well, would you like to come with us? We have some booklets and some periodicals. We'd love to have coffee with you and talk over. Because what the goal is not to sell more pamphlets and booklets. The goal is to get that young woman or young man, preferably a young woman, because it's more appealing to me. And Lady Beth can sexually, she can pivot. And I don't like watching her having sex with a man because it's a difficult thing for me. I've just gotten over a number of dysfunctional episodes. So when she's having sex with a man and enjoying it, and he never had any real problem upon meeting her and having sex with her, I get very angry. And I have to go into another room where there is furniture or something that I can pick up and basically hammer into the ground or break over my head. It's a fascinating story. Lady Beth was having sex with a guy that we had met. He had come down his driveway to get his mail, and he was just on his way into the house to get a shower and to go off to his job as a lineman for... A lineman for the county? No. he was a lineman for what? He was a football lineman. We saw him smile when he saw the with the circular. He said, so we backed up really fast, rolled the window down, and said, so you're enjoying that? He said, yes, very much. And we said, can we interest you in a booklet series? And he said, yes. And as soon as he said yes, I remember thinking, God, how I hope and pray whatever motel we find, they've got some furniture in the adjoining room that I can break apart, because this is going to be tough listening to Lady Beth. And she's loud. She's loud. She lets it go. Don't you, Lady Beth? Don't you? Yes, she does. And sure enough, we checked into a motel. I think it was the Cabernet or something. It doesn't make any difference what it's called, but it was down on the boulevard there, away from where this guy lived. And in the next room, I could hear her screaming at the top of her lungs and beating her fist against a wall. And I heard him grunting like an ape. And just so you know, he was a white guy. I don't want anybody thinking that I'm insensitive. So he was making his noises, and it was irritating me, as it would any man. And I picked up an end table that had a lamp on it, and I broke the lamp over my head, and I broke the end table over my head. Now, a lot of people are saying, why are you doing that? That's destructive. And the only answer I can give you is that it satisfies me. It satisfies me. It's the closest thing to an orgasm that I'm going to have while listening to my wife have sex with another man in an adjoining motel room. So that when I beat myself over the head with a lamp or an end table, I enjoy it. I enjoy it immensely. But getting back to the booklets that we've done so many thousands of, and we've helped so many people, we are only able to do one or two flyers. So while we do put the flyers in the mailboxes, you can only do one or two a day, because what happens then is you are not able to get all the other important things that you need to have done. By the way, on television right now is Sofia Vergara, who was put on a rotating pedestal. Now, you know she has a very pronounced derriere. Standing next to her was the metrosexual president of the television motion picture arts and sciences, a guy by the name of, what was his name, Lady Beth? We don't know. We don't remember. And so she was, people are saying she was objectified. And I would agree with that. I would agree that she was objectified and made to look like just a butt. And yet, it made me feel good, and I'm sure it made a lot of other people out there feel, men and women, just to see Sofia Vergara there on that rotating stand, and she was reduced to just an ass. No face, no head, no ears, no hair, no legs, no arms, no hands, just an ass rotating. And do you understand that that is what it's all about? To be able to not see color or gender or any of those things. This is August Sensen, and boy, has it been fun for me today to be a part of the Phil Henry Show and talk about what's important to me. And I will just leave you with a couple of things. Remember to go out into the world. Don't get too pushy with people. But also state your case. And if you find yourself in the wrong place at the wrong time, if you're in the middle of a supermarket or in a department store, if you're in the middle of a situation that's uncomfortable, remember you can't go wrong by finding the most likely person in the room and make your move. And I don't mean a grotesque and overt sexual come on, but I do mean something, a wink, licking of the lips. You run the risk. You run the risk. Some people are you're going to hit on the wrong guy. Or you're going to lick your lips looking at the lady that's just passed the guy that's standing between you and her. He's going to think that was meant for him. And you're going to have to pay your dues on that particular day, my friend. But I'll tell you what. After you go through that, whatever that is, and God knows how long it'll last, and she's still there and hasn't left, you can walk in there holding a rag to your mouth or a big block of ice on your head or maybe a big block of ice down your pants. Believe me when I tell you I've done that, because I winked at a girl once. We were in an area where they de-louse you. And it was, unfortunately, she was a female sheriff, and I was being de-loused as I was being led into the main cell block there at county. I'd been arrested for something. We don't have to go into that. But I winked at the female sheriff because she was put together very nicely. And sure enough, there was a man who was in there for some kind of armed assault or something, and he saw me wink. And the first thing he did, it was a boot right to my crotch. And then the rest of it was almost as if someone had thrown me in a tumbler machine, like a dryer. All I know is I felt a boot to my crotch, I doubled up, and then it was just as if I was thrown into a tumbling machine. Everything was upside down, right side up. I saw sky, I saw floor, I saw the legs of chairs, I saw a face, and then I'd see another face, a female face, a male face. I saw, it was as if I'd been, again, sent to hell. And when I came to, and more to the point, when I was standing upright, and that only lasted for a couple of seconds, I fell over face first onto the cement floor. And I remember I face first on a cement floor, and it was a big yellow shoe print that apparently was put there so you'd know which way to walk. Well, my face was right up against this yellow footprint, and there were inmates and guys who were being processed stepping over me. And I thought to my August, you rolled the dice. You made the wrong call there, boy. I'll tell you. So that's what happened, and I did eventually meet the young lady, a United States County Sheriff, or excuse me, I've still got some brain damage from the beating I took in there. She was a L.A. County Sheriff, very lovely girl, but married, and twice divorced, and married again, and married to another cop. But I still look back on that, and I still say I made the right call, because take away the fact she's a cop, take away the fact that she's married to another cop, take away the fact she's been multiple, you know, that she's been married many times, take away the fact that she is works as a bailiff in a men's jail, which means she knows how to handle mace, at least. Take away the fact that she comes from the country and I'm from the city. Just take away her clothes, and she's a little obese. You take away all of that. Take away the fact. And I think we had a shot. I think we had a big shot, a big chance to spend at least a half an hour in a room somewhere where I could have pushed some furniture against the door, and we could have had the sex and had that moment of peace and serenity that comes with sex. Well, everybody, August Sensen reminding you that wherever you are, see if you can't get to one of our circular centers, or a place where we pass out our booklets, or a place where we pass out some of the pamphlets and manuals. That's the new August Sensen Sex Manual for 2015 is going to be coming out here in just another 2 weeks. I know it's for 2015 and we're still in 2014, but that's how a lot of magazines are published. You'll see it'll say 2015 and it's really 2014. And I said to Terry Pellman, who is our circulation manager, I said, why don't we do that? He said, well, I don't know, really know what. How do you do that? I said, just put 2015 on there, and it looks like we've done everything for 2014, and then people are going to want to go back and get the 2014 circulars and say, wow, I must have missed something, you know. All right. Well, remember, when you see those sexy eyes, that means that you've got another opportunity. You've got another chance. You've got one more chance today to have sex.
I got up and took your hand, and we both began to dance to the music.
August Sensen filling in for Phil Henry, executive producer for Siempre Incorporated, all rights reserved, on the Sideshow Network. Don't forget, if I'm asked back to fill in for Phil Henry again, I'll bring in some pamphlets and some booklets to show you. I think I showed you one of the booklets here. Oh, we're all done? All right. See you later, everybody. I'm August Sensen. But please do ask for Volume 3. Volume 3 is Sex on the Run.